Coming up on TMS, TMS OnlyFans coming.
Pull up your pants. Your Vegas is showing.
These trying Karen times.
An acrid arachnid.
Beware of satins.
90 minutes of stink.
Do spiders have 8 legs? Because I really, like, wanted to know.
Single Pringle.
6B has the right hardness.
Could it be... Sad?
My drone lives on a farm upstate.
Primordial ooze of Florida man.
I'm laying eggs right now.
0 to 60 in 3 seconds with Bill.
Bringing up your breakfast with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Well, the problem that I have with Power Rangers is that Power Rangers get their power from dinosaurs, the spirit of dinosaurs.
Nice wiener!
Man who can catch fly with chopstick, accomplish anything. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Tuesday, July 12th, 2022. I thought it was the 13th today for some reason. I don't know why.
It's 1-2-2-2-2.
1-2-2-2-2. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian Ibbett. Good morning.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Hey, Tuesday, you know, it's what we do. We got Tuesday here.
Yeah, you know, Tuesday. It's not Wednesday, but it's also not Monday.
Nope.
So that's good.
Nope. It's not even... So if at the Wednesday, we did this once before. If Wednesday's hump day, what is Tuesday? It's a...
Lube up day.
Lube day. Okay, sweet.
Apply generous amounts, copious amounts of lube.
That's right. Or if needed, chode butter in a pinch.
That's right. That's
anyway.
Right. Oh, I still haven't gotten back on the bike since... I'm so horrible. I haven't gotten back on the bike since the big ride.
That's not horrible. It's been, what, a week? Week and a half? 2 weeks, I guess.
Yeah. Week?
That's not that bad. You know,
2.5 weeks almost.
If you go, 2 months and you didn't get on, then I'd, you know, then you can feel bad about it.
Can feel bad. No, I need to. I need, because otherwise it's like, well, I feel like I've just got to start back over with like small hilly rides and then extend back. It's like, all right, let's get out there.
Yeah. I believe in you. I think you can do it.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
you're welcome.
Thank you.
Now that you've got my approval, it's all downhill from there as well. all right. I got a thing I want to talk to people about that I'm kind of excited about.
Okay.
Even though there are some people concerned about schedules, which we'll get to in a second, but we are going to announce a brand new thing happening on Fridays. So just a little bit of history. When we started TMSPM, it was always a thing of like, well, let's do a little something extra. And it didn't always have to be that, but that was kind of the staple. And then we would insert play date occasionally. We'd insert other things occasionally. And it was always a little bit fluid. It was always meant to be a little bit fluid when it converted to a Patreon only sort of thing. I remember how mad everybody was when we took it off the main feed, though. That was pretty funny. But hey, whatever.
It's for patrons.
It's for patrons, everybody. We just didn't know what we were doing in the beginning. Okay, give us a break. So anyway, we're going to launch something called the TMS Couch Party this Friday. And what it is, well, first of all, it's a nice change up to the usual. You know, the way PM works right now is you're kind of getting a watered down normal episode, which is fine. We do, you know, we have a good time. We have Dan on there, more on him in a minute, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's not proper TMS. It's just, oh, it's at night or whatever. But we also, you know, the questions, we love the quick questions. We'll still take those and put those on the show, on the show proper. But starting this Friday, and I've already put this up on the Patreon so people are aware of it who are already patrons. This is for everybody else out there who's maybe on the fence, or maybe this sounds fun to you. I don't know, but here's what we're going to do. Patrons at any level, so it doesn't matter which level you're on, are invited. You are invited to a weekly 100% private viewing with us on Discord. Now, before you freak out and go, private viewing, what does this mean? You know, like, what kind of sexual deviance are we up to? That's not what we mean at all. What we mean is nobody else can get to it but you. If you're a patron, you're in. If you're not, you're not. It's just like locked out. There's no cheating. There's no sharing links. It doesn't work that way. You just are in if you're in, or you're not if you're not. And in this place, we will spend an hour to an hour and a half, sometimes a little longer, watching full episodes of television that we choose, from the cheesy to the good to the whatever. We'll take votes. We'll let you guys have a voice as to what we're watching and when. Movies, if you think to yourself, like, you know, stuff we would...
Stuff that may not fit on film set.
Right. Stuff that might actually be good. Like, you know, I really want to watch Edge of Tomorrow this week because, I don't know, I'm in the mood.
Yeah, we all know. We all know the one reason you want to watch Edge of Tomorrow. And of course, she's in it.
Yeah, she's in it. And her chin. Yeah. And then also that lady who's married to John Krasinski, she's in it also. Just kidding. There's too many ladies. Anyway, so that's currently on the plan, although that could change. Who knows? But the point is, all these sorts of things. Dan is still, the plan is to have Dan still join us once a month. Right now, he's with us less than once a month. So we would actually increase his appearances on the show, but he would be on a proper like TMS Monday through Thursday sometime, at least once a month. So we're going to make that happen. We would move this up to 1 p.m. instead of 2, just to kind of, you know, make it a little less crazy on a Friday, give us a little more time on the back end of that thing so that we can see something that might be a little bit longer. And while you're in there, we're going to make it so that you're going to hear us, you know, we'll be able to talk anytime we want. But if anybody else wants to like raise their hand and go, oh, I got a thing to say, it's going to be really easy for to pull people in and out of audio whenever they want. We can't have like hundreds in there talking at once. But
right. Otherwise, we won't hear the thing we're all watching.
Yeah.
But then we'll hear our funny comments.
Yes. And you might hear one of you here and there say a thing or two. Right. And we'll still put all this audio on the audio feed for those who can't be there. Which brings up a point. So a bunch of people in the comments on the Patreon are concerned about schedule because, you know, a lot of them are like, well, I'm still at work and I can't do an hour and a half thing. And they were maybe people that were already just getting the show via audio anyway. And it hadn't really occurred to me when I was setting all this up and talking to you and everything. It wasn't flashing with me that, oh, yeah, right. This is kind of middle of the day for the rest of the working world.
Yeah.
And even I think even on the extreme on the eastern coast, it's what? Three?
It's 3 o'clock on the east coast, yeah.
Yeah, so it's only 3 o'clock. So, you know, Brian and I will have some discussion and we'll take that feedback seriously and, you know, to make a decision about whether this is the best time or not. I don't know.
Right.
I'd like to maximize people's ability to be there, obviously, and that's the whole point of this. And so we'll talk. Currently, We're gonna fire that one off this Friday at 1 as planned.
Yep.
But we'll talk and see if there's any, you know, wiggle we can do on that. I don't know what that is.
Like people say, yeah, people work.
No, okay. I know, I get it. I just I'm saying? Because Brian and I have weird jobs, okay? And we forget sometimes that not everybody can just go, hey, it's 1 o'clock, let's do the thing. I get it. I totally get it. All right.
Yep.
I just want to make sure as many of you can be there as possible.
And, you know, I was thinking about, well, but there's Guess the Connection. You know, that is a very fluid thing that I can move kind of anywhere during the week. It's a 30-minute show.
Sure.
So I could really put that anywhere I want. So, yeah, maybe we, you know, we'll talk. Scott and I'll talk. The parents will talk offline.
Yeah.
And we'll...
don't make us turn this car around. All right. And then the other thing was, I'll still put all the audio up on the feed. That'll probably evolve and turn into whatever it's going to turn into.
And for those of you worried about, well, audio, it's not going to be as fun because I'm listening to you guys talk about a thing that I can't see. Don't worry. If you've heard Film Sack, you know that conversations devolve and we add things and start talking about things while we're talking about the thing that we were meant to be talking about. So it will be, there will be the comedy that you know and love from TMSPM. You'll just get more of it.
I was thinking maybe doing a video capture of it. It would just be a commentary on top of a film. But since I can't put that on like YouTube or something, just giving everybody like a Dropbox link or something if they want, if just having it there, if they want it, if you want to see the video version. So you're all synced up and can hear the movie and us fine. You know, maybe I'll do it. I don't know. Right. I got to decide. So some of this is still up in the air anyway. Let's see. Oh, once a month, we'll still do Playdate. That's still a thing. Yep. We'll swap in and do that. So that doesn't change. And, you can actually submit upcoming session ideas, like what do you want to watch. If you're like, man, there's this weird British TV series I really want those guys to see, it's only 9 episodes, want to know.
You know what people want you to watch, Scott. I don't know if you've been watching the chat room when we first talked about this, but a certain adopted Norse god, half ice giant, frost giant, would really.
I would watch
Here's
Loki.
The problem with that, folks, is that we can't just willy nilly say, all right, we're watching Loki, because we can't make Loki a weekly thing. There's, you don't want to have that much time in between episodes. Nobody does, right? Mm. So we just got to make sure we pick Loki episode one at a time when you are ready to binge the rest of the series.
Yeah.
After watching,
that's a great way to kick it off.
Two, yeah. We watched the first two as part of TMS Couch Party, and then you continue that weekend and watch the rest of it.
Yeah, I would totally do that. That'd be totally fine. And if you guys are like, hey, what about an old episode of MASH? Fine. You want to watch a couple of those? Great. You want to watch some ancient thing made in the 60s? Great. The point is, it can be anything. We're not limited by anything here. There's no weird Twitch streaming rules or any of that. It's all a private Discord. We're all friends in the same house, basically, is how that's going to work.
Exactly. Yes.
Your key to do this through the Patreon should be super simple, because I'm finally tying the Patreon functionality directly to Patreon, directly to Discord, I should say, so that you'll be able to just see this room and go in there, because your role is the correct role. You don't have to have passwords. You don't have to worry about anything fancy. You just go in and you're in. So anyway, if you go to the webpage, I forgot to tell you, frogpants.com/couchparty, where you want to submit your submissions.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
So go check that out. And it's also linked on the webpage, so you can find it easy. frogpants.com/couchparty. And of course, all these details are up at patreon.com/TMS if you're a patron. Now, like I said, could change, could tweak, could move. We don't know. Maybe we get into this thing, Brian, and we're like, actually, the best thing to do is one of these or two of these a month interspersed with a normal PM and a play date. Or maybe we, I don't know. I'm just,
who knows?
It's none of it is like in stone. We're just trying to like freshen this little part of this up a little bit, do something fun and interesting and do it with you, more of a communal event type thing every week. So anyway, that's the thinking. It doesn't have any effect on TMS proper, but it's all normal. No change there.
Right.
But if you want to know details, go check them out, especially if you are a patron of the show. Okay. Cool. I think that's it. Did I miss anything? I think that's
it. I don't think so. I think that any other answers will come about as we do this thing, because we're still figuring out ourselves. But it's a good way to kind of freshen things up.
Yep, I agree. All right, so here's a quick email from I promised I'd play this more when I get these.
Send and receive email.
themorningstream@gmail.com is the email address. Greg from Madison, Wisconsin sent this about the worker shortage, because we were talking about my bad experience at Smash Burger and all that.
Oh, right. I guess I'm the manager.
You're the manager now. It says, hi, Scott and Brian. I'm listening to the TMS 2315 right now, and I'm hearing you guys talk about the worker shortage. He says, well, much of what you said is true, or while of what you said was true, do not be fooled into thinking that most of these big companies can't afford to pay their employees more. CEO pay rose in 2020 by 19% and grew from there in 2021. Large companies are making conscious decisions to continue to pay their employees at the same wages they were making before the pandemic, regardless of the fact that people at the top are making more and more money. Yes, costs are going up right now due to supply chain and demand, but also note costs are fluctuating rapidly right now, also due to supply and demand. But these large companies can easily afford to pay their employees a living wage. I left a job last month for a new position in the same field. My old employer refused to give me a raise, while my new employer was forced to give me a $10,000 raise due to my experience and the success that I've had in my field. CEOs and companies know what they must do to bring employees back, but they still refuse. Thanks for reading, Greg. Yeah, that seems to be the consensus. I haven't heard anything to counter this. Well, I know it's true, because anything publicly held out there, like, public companies, they have to release these numbers, and CEOs and everybody at the top and bottom lines are through the freaking roof right now. They're making so much money. So I don't buy any of it where they're like, well, we're, due to these trying times,
things are tough all over.
Real tough. Freaking CEOs with their golden underwear.
I can barely
underwear.
Afford to put chlorine in my giant infinity pool.
Yeah. So I don't like it at all. And I think it sucks. Also, I'll tell you what else sucks. I don't watch the news very often.
I don't watch the news.
But I was watching the news yesterday, a stream. I don't even remember who it was. But they had these guests on who just a month or two ago were the same guests that they had on saying that the gas prices was the worst thing to happen. This is the administration's fault to this is, you know, basically blaming everybody except giant oil companies who were gouging everybody.
Right.
And then they're on yesterday because gas prices are now plummeting. They're going down. And he comes on and these same people said, well, we're worried about these mom and pop gas station owners who are going to be strapped with this lower. Like, you can F off. You can F off.
Oh, here we go right there. Yes. Cap Kipper just put a thing in the thing. Fox News is now saying the gas prices are falling too fast, with the host saying that this decline is historically faster than usual, which is causing independently owned mom and pop gas stations to struggle.
Eat a turd. Yeah. Which way do you want it? It's everyone's fault.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the way they want it is in a way that makes it very easy to blame the liberal administration.
Or I don't even care who's in there right now. Like, just the news can eat it. They're bad at this. And it's not just that they're bad at this. They bring on people who are bad at this. Yeah, and they do it on purpose because controversy and idiots sell. It makes money. Yes. So double bird to the entire freaking 24-hour news network industry. Here's the two birds I'm giving you. A-holes.
All yeah.
Right. Got a little worked up there, Brian. A little bit worked up.
Apparently so. My goodness. By the way, big shout out to Madison, Wisconsin. A lot of our listeners are from there. And,
oh, yeah.
And if you want to have a nice meetup some Saturday or Sunday morning at the place called Smut and Eggs... where you can watch porn while you eat breakfast at a bar in Madison, Wisconsin.
This is real? I've never heard of this.
Smut and Eggs. Yeah.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Guess which people in my life told me about Smut and Eggs who might be from Wisconsin.
Let me think here for a second. I wonder if they have crazy in their name and Dave at the end.
Yes, matter of fact, okay. Yes.
That sounds right. Speaking of Wisconsin and people from there, a shout out and birthday happy wishes to Jules Scott, who is from there. She currently lives in Minnesota, but she's also from Wisconsin. It hurts her birthday today. Happy birthday, Jules.
Happy birthday also to Wicked Kitten, who is not from Wisconsin, but is great nonetheless.
She is great. Oh, you're not from Wisconsin?
Even
no, you're
though
great.
She's not from Wisconsin, she's still pretty darn good.
Yeah, you're pretty darn good. Well, happy birthday to both these fine ladies.
Happy birthday to you.
So there you go. And may your eggs always be smutty, okay? All right.
Oh, it's Monica's mother? Oh, okay. Happy birthday to Wicked Mother Kitten.
Oh, Monica's. It's not Monica's birthday.
It's not Monica. I saw something about Monica's birthday, and I guess it was Monica's mom's birthday. Okay, well, you know, there you go.
That's all right. I mean, look, they're related. Genetic material passed down. Between generations.
Right, exactly.
May as well be the same person. It's fine.
May as well. Hey, I'm going to tell you really quickly. I didn't put in our show notes here, but I did drive for Lyft yesterday.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
And one of the worst things that can happened to me when I drove Lyft yesterday.
Oh, no.
So I was like, all right, well, I'll just drive for a couple hours. No problem. That'll be just fine. I get in the car. I have to take some computers up to this place in Boulder. So I take it up there, drop it off. And then as soon as I'm done, I flip on Lyft and say, I'm online. Give me rides. And I haul a couple people around Boulder. I decide, all right, things have kind of dried up here. I'm going to start heading towards Denver, because if things dry up in Boulder, I can go to Denver and usually get a ride right away.
Yeah.
On the way, I get a pickup from Avista Hospital, which is a hospital that's along the way. I don't know if you may have heard about some horrible fires that we had last year, wiped out 200 homes.
Oh, yeah. Those were bad. That was bad.
Right up to the edge of Avista Hospital. It's that area kind of along the way. We almost got evacuated in our neighborhood because it was kind of close
to us. That's right. That was bad.
So it's not uncommon, too, for hospitals to request lifts for patients who don't have family members who come and pick them up. You know, I've had to drive people back from the hospital quite a bit lately.
Sure.
So I go there. I pick up this woman. She is carrying a couple big plastic bags. And she says, I'm just going to apologize right now. When I came into the hospital, it was during the rain, so everything I had was sopping wet, and they just shoved them into plastic bags 3 days ago, and they've sat in those plastic bags for the last 3 days.
Mildew.
So I apologize for the smell. I'm like, oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah, mildew like, okay, clothes, well, man. No, nothing good about mildew in your clothes. It's bad.
Fortunately, I keep a spray thing of Febreze in my car for just that reason. So I look in the app. I say, all right, Karen has been picked up. I made up the name Karen. Just, you know, I don't want to dox or give anybody's.
I don't know if it's worse though, naming her Karen in these trying Karen times.
Yeah, it was similar to that, so that's why I picked that. And then it says, all right, get ready for your hour and 15-minute drive up to North Fort Collins.
Oh my gosh,
this is past the place that it took me 6 hours to ride my bike to at the end of last month. I had to
more for that or no? Do you not? Is it the same?
No, it pays me just as much as if somebody not at a hospital.
Well, what I mean is like that distance. Like, let's say it's only 5 blocks versus 20 miles. What's
Yes. I mean, you get paid per mile.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, your drive is based on the distance and sometimes the time if you have to do, like, if there's any sort of rush hour traffic or things like that you have to deal with. Okay. So, it was absolutely, like, it ended up being like a $60-some drive up there.
Okay.
Here's the problem with that is that, great, now I'm, like, I'm close to 60 miles away from where I started.
Yeah.
How do I get back? Like, I'm not just going to magically get a ride up in North Fort Collins and says, hey, I'll let you back to Arvada. And like, they're immediately match me up. No, I've got to figure out, like, all right, I can bounce around up there in Fort Collins for a while, then make my way down 10 miles to Berthoud, see if I get any rides there, then make my way down to Longmont. Fortunately, I had one person in Fort Collins who wanted to go really close to Longmont. So I'm like, oh, I should tip you for like making it so that I could actually make money driving back towards where I want to go. And so that's kind of what I did. I just, whenever I got to a town, I just kind of bounced around there, picked up some people until either it dried up or until I got a ride that was like, I want to go north. I'm like, nope. Sorry. South is where I'm going.
So did she, so when you got the lady at the hospital, Mildew Mary, they say in the chat.
Mildew Mary, yes.
Did she, you don't know when you're doing that pickup that Fort Collins is the destination, or do you? Do you know then?
I do. There's a little tiny thing underneath the thing that says 40 plus minute ride, or sometimes 30 plus minute ride, or 50 minute ride. And it kind of gives you an idea. Now, every other time I've seen that, it was airport. And it's like, great, I can hop on the toll road. I've got a sticker in my car that cheapens the toll road for me. I'm out there in 20 minutes. I can get a ride back from the airport or near the airport, usually back west. Later in the day when flights are coming in morning. No, it's if you have to go to the airport in the morning as a Lyft driver, the way I look at it is, the city is this nice pool, right? We're all just, we're like all these little toys floating in the pool, floating along. Oh, what's that? Oh, it looks like I'm getting close to the filter. Oh, I'm sucked into the filter. And you just stay in the filter. You never get out of the filter. The airport in the morning is the filter that all the toys are trapped in waiting to get out.
Oh, it sounds like a nightmare. I hate that. Yeah. The whole idea.
But, it worked out. I got paid for most of the rides that I got up there, and whatever. I there's something about chatting with people. 99.9% of the people that I've had in my Lyft over the 3 or 4 years that I've been doing it have been either really cool to talk to or interesting to talk to, or they just didn't talk and we had a nice, you know, relaxing, introspective, silent ride. But
I can't believe you've been doing it. It feels like you just started doing it, but 3 or 4 years.
Well, it was a year and a half that I didn't do it.
True.
Because of reasons. But
I remember that when you started, it was right before the pandemic, right? It was like 2019.
Yeah, right before the pandemic. Yeah. And look, if there's anybody out there who's like, oh, I've been thinking about doing this, let me know, because I do have I have bonus codes I can give you so that your first, like if you do X number of rides in your first month, you get a huge bonus, like $1,000 or $1,200 bonus. So,
jeez,
and I can give you tips. I can be your, I'll be your guide, your Sherpa.
Yeah. Your Lyft Sherpa. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
La Sherpa. What is that? You got the A word.
Schlerpa.
Was that the A word talking to you?
No, it was the S word on my, it was the S word on my wrist. She thought I was talking to her somehow and I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't either. Sometimes the S word, she thinks things. Let's just put it that way. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't trust her.
Stop thinking
for yourself there, robot face. All right. Look at this. We got a lineup of news today. It's important breaking news. We're going to get to it right now. It's time for the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by a brand new episode of Soundography that I just posted. We had a sponsored episode from a listener, and Hammond and I had to listen to a band called The Dirty Heads. Ugh, right? Yeah. You think to yourself, The Dirty Heads, I don't want to listen to some band. No, these guys are great. If you like 311, 311 was easily the biggest comparison. Maybe Sublime, Little Jack Johnson's kind of that real positive reggae kind of sound to them. Positive trip hop reggae. Dirty Heads are great, and him and I listened to all of it, and we're here to talk to you about it. Soundography.com is where you can find our season finale.
Very nice. The Dirty Heads.
The Dirty Heads.
The rest is clean. Just the head is dirty.
Correct. Yes, you just want to clean that head.
It sounds dirty. Dirtier than I meant it to be. All right, let's get to this story here about Pringles. Pringles is in the news because Pringles wants to name a spider after itself. Here's why. So this is a very visual story. I'm going to have to pull this link up here.
Does he have a Pringle-shaped body?
He has a Pringles logo for a body, basically. Look at that thing.
Look at that thing. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Pretty rad.
I think if Sonny Bono were alive, he would say, well, hold on. Just one second, Pringles.
Hold on, you guys. I don't know what his voice was like. I don't remember.
That's pretty close to it. I think Tom Selleck at one point would have had a way to claim this one, too.
Oh, yeah. Tom Selleck could do it. He could do it now. Probably.
Does he have the mustache back? I thought he shaved it.
I thought he has it in that Blue Blood show. Maybe he did shave it. I don't know.
Maybe he has it back. I don't know. I just know that for a while there, he shaved the mustache and I was like, who's that guy?
Yeah, who is that foot? I don't want that. Put that back on. So here's the deal. Pringles and spiders, probably two things you don't want to associate with each other until now. The Kellogg-owned brand is petitioning. Oh, I didn't know Kellogg owned them.
I didn't know that either.
Wow. All right. It's the same material, just flavored differently than your cornflakes, is my guess.
It kind of is, yeah.
Just all mashed together into a shape. Anyway, they're petitioning the Anacrid community or the Arachnid community to recognize the little-known kidney garden spider as the Pringle spider. And the reason is, the snack food maker says, has this uncanny resemblance to the mustachioed logo. In 1968, the world was introduced to the iconic Pringles can and logo. But little did we know, there was a creature amongst us who was unknowingly spreading the Pringles love, says Mauricio Jenkins.
Mauricio.
Yeah, Mauricio Jenkins. That's what I yell when I
read. He has a mustache just like that, by the way. Mauricio Jenkins.
If he doesn't, it's a crime. Yeah. He's the marketing lead here in the U.S. He said this via a press release. Their online petition began last week and has just over 1,000 signatures. It's not a ton. It says, if it's officially recognized by the arachnid community. Community? What does that mean? The spider community? You know,
the spider community, like the arachnid loving
people are just way into spiders.
I had to leave that Discord. It was just getting too venomous. It was just
the spider Discord. It probably exists, right?
I mean, make a joke in the chat room. I said that a stinky spider is an acrid or nacrid. A stinky spider is an acrid arachnid.
There you go. See, that's
an acrid arachnid.
Oh, speaking of that, I think Kim and I discovered a new tongue twister yesterday. See if I can remember what it was. Oh, crap. She'll have to tell me. You're out walking the dog.
Why don't you leave your sex life out of this show, Scott?
It's funny because I made a similar joke at the moment, but she didn't appreciate it. But I can't remember the name, the thing. It was an amazing. I should have written it down. Why don't I write things down? But it's one I never heard before, and it's hard to do.
Really? Yeah, okay.
I'll find it later. I'll text her during the break or something and see if I can figure something out. Anyway, they are. So here's the deal. Pringles says it is going to give away 1,500 free cans of Pringles to the first 1,500 signatories to celebrate the spider's new name. I'm guessing.
Can you bribe people to sign a petition like that?
I mean,
is that fair? Is that legal?
It seems illegal, but I guess petitions are just. Oh, it's now they're way past this. They're at their. I'm they're sure at 6,400. They yeah. They've already gotten rid of all their Pringles, free Pringles. Almost 7,500, which.
It was also very misleading. You thought you were getting a can of Pringles. You were just getting a chip.
Yeah, you want a chip.
It's sent to you in a number 2 envelope.
Yeah.
Or no, I guess it's a number 10 envelope. I can't remember. What number 2 pencil, number 10 envelope?
Number 2 pencil, for sure. There's a number 2 pencil.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
the 6B. There's the...
has the right hardness for you, the 6B, does it?
it's more than a handful, let's put it that way. anyway... if anyone out there got the free Pringles, you have to let us know what they actually send you.
Oh, yeah, please do. Yeah.
Do you get to choose flavor? You gonna be? Is it just the basic one, probably, is my guess? Yeah. Just the crappy, whatever the baseline flavor is of those things?
Sure, sure.
All right.
We'll see if this happens. Right now, it just doesn't seem like it's got the legs to make it.
I see what you did. All doesn't have 8 legs.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It needs 8 legs to make it. Wait, what? Wait, do spiders have 8 legs? Is that the deal?
They do. They have 8 legs, yes.
Why am I thinking?
And 8 eyes. How many legs does an octopus have, Scott?
Well, wait a minute. Spiders don't all have 8 eyes.
Yeah, they all have 8 eyes.
All
eight
spiders legs. Have 8 eyes? Is this true?
Here's where you're going to Google and find, no, the rare Milwaukee no. potato spider.
No. This isn't about me I'm not trying to prove you right or wrong. I am blown away by that. Is that always been true
I think all spiders have 8 eyes. I'm looking it up because I'm pretty sure. Nope, here we go. Spiders usually have 8 eyes, but few have good eyesight. So some have 6 or fewer. Look at that. I thought it was
6, 7, 8. Okay, but I found one that seems no to be eyes. Indicative of the ones you're mentioning. I found an 8-eyer, and I guess I just thought, I don't know what I thought. I thought they had 2, Brian. I thought they had 2. Yeah. But what was I thinking? Because I know I've seen something like this before. I just put it in Discord. Look at that guy.
Ooh, isn't that freaky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want that in your grilled cheese. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, here's the cool thing. So obviously, spiders, 8 legs, 8, usually 8 eyes or often 8 eyes and 1 brain. Octopus.
Yeah.
8 legs.
Yeah.
9 brains.
Whoa, what? Per octopus?
Per octopus.
What? How is that? What is that for? What do they do with 9 brains? Is it a brain per head and then one per leg?
Per leg, a brain per leg and then one for the head.
Wow.
And one for Jenny and the Wimp.
Humans suck. We're boring.
Yeah, right? I know. Exactly. Oh, one. Like, they've just got one of most things, sometimes 2.
I found a spider with 2. You know what? I don't like him. Here.
A spider with 2 eyes?
Yeah, I feel like he's about to launch at me and tell me that his food order was wrong or something. Look at this guy. Look at that. It's like, hey, what are you doing?
I'd like to see the manager.
Excuse me. He's just too...
He is. I mean, the legs up there like that.
Not a fan.
And we're sure that that's a 2-eyed?
Good point.
Could on be. The sides and back of his head and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's a good point. We're only getting the front, so who knows? Yeah. I follow this... it was kind of sad. I follow this... TikToker who has a spider, a pet spider named Leopold or something like that. And it's this cute, furry, kind of white one. They're probably a certain species, and it's actually kind of cute. Like, it's cute for a spider. And the poor thing, it just passed away. It was sad.
Aww.
The entire point of their TikTok account now gone.
Oh, yeah. See?
Yeah. It's a real bummer. Yeah. Man, I did not know this about... Look at all these spiders with all their 8 eyes. And here's the thing. None of them are in the same place. Like, if you go from spider to spider, this guy's got them.
Oh, right. The arrangement of the eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Wild to me. Just wild. Yeah. All right.
It's like headlights on different model cars.
Bobby, I guess we don't need you today. We did some science. Just kidding. Hang around. We'll
need you. I hope Bobby's going to talk about that James Webb telescope deal.
Yeah, I want to talk something. That stuff's rad. Although I heard
it is amazing.
Can I share with you an email I got after I tweeted that?
Sure.
All right, Chad, I'll put it up so you can actually see it, so you know I'm not just pulling this out of my ass. I screen capped it. So after I put up that image of the telescope capture, which is absolutely insane, amazing.
Yeah, just a massive number of galaxies and stuff in there. Yeah.
And here's what the listener said. I'll keep their name private. And it came to my email account, but I think they're a TMS listener. I'm not sure. Okay. All right. Scott, I see, and I'll read typos and everything. Okay. Scott, okay. I see you already falling for the latest attempt by the globalists pretending to be scientists to fool you into thinking that that image is real. It's all fake and designed to drag Y.U. further away from God and into the waiting hands of Satanists. It is easy to see if you take a minute to look or to think about it. Don't get pulled into this trap. The choice is yours to make. But he spelled yours, Y-O-U-R-S. The choice is yours to make, but you're getting, you did W-Y-O-U-R again, that's the point, but you're getting duped again by antichrists and Satan's followers.
Satan's followers?
Yeah, a concerned fan signed anonymous. Yeah. I don't even know who's...
Latest image from NASA.
I can't even tell if I'm being trolled or if they're goofing or if it's real. Right. I don't know.
Right.
I'm not claiming it's real. I don't know. I can't tell when you people are being serious. I can never tell anyone.
As we know.
As
I haven't watched
know.
Him in a while. I see that he keeps seeing his prayer YouTube video live things. I see them when they go live because I guess I did allow notifications, damn it.
Oh,
but now that we've got abortions locked up, let's go for gay marriage or something like that. That's not quite the way he's phrasing it, but it is his current
credo
mission. Yeah.
Fantastic, keep it up there, weird old man. I almost forgot to say we were talking about birthdays earlier, and I totally spaced that Gary Fisher's birthday is today. So happy birthday, aww, Gary Fisher! Yeah, hope you're doing good there, bud.
Well, she's not.
Who? Gary Fisher?
Oh, Gary Fisher. I thought you said Carrie Fisher.
No, Gary Fisher. Gary from Lantronics, you know, listener of the show.
Yes, from Toy Story Lot B. Oh, yeah, we'll talk more about Gary Fisher later on in the show.
For a second, you had me thinking he had both died and was trans.
I heard Carrie Fisher and...
Funny.
Good. Larry Kenobi says, I heard Carrie too. Icrosser says, I heard Carrie too. All right, good. I'm not.
All right, Ryan's not crazy. I must have.
Where did you say Carrie Fisher?
I need to enunciate.
I can tell you she's not doing well.
Yeah, Scott. She's not doing so good. Or maybe better. I don't know. This world kind of sucks. Maybe she's better off. I don't know.
But Gary Fisher, alive and well, the news of Gary Fisher's passing is. Look at everybody. I heard Carrie.
Thank you.
Mashed potatoes, yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's also Eileen Rivera's birthday, so Tom Merritt's wife's birthday. Eileen.
Geraldo Rivera?
Yeah, no. Geraldo Rivera's birthday. all right. Well, Gary will probably have a good time with that. let's see. Oh, speaking of bugs, a German museum has removed Damien Hirst's dead fly installation, saying it wasn't aware that insects were covered by state animal the welfare act for animals. So now,
don't worry, folks. They've moved it to my local Pizza Hut. It's right there in the corner by the window.
There are a lot of flies right now. Have you noticed this? Are you having a bunch of flies?
I noticed them early, like in the spring when
we're having them bad right now.
More riding, but yeah.
And we don't get them in the fall usually. We don't get them in the summer. And I don't know what's going on. Why we have so many freaking flies, but they're everywhere. So I was trying to eat dinner last night outside and it was just like, no, it's fly time. Get out of here. Can't do it. Gets the flamethrower. That's right.
Ever get tempted to buy one of those bug assault things? Have you seen those?
Is it just the zapper thing?
It's a gun that shoots salt. Like you basically pour table salt into it and it shoots flies with little what's the gun type where it shoots a whole bunch of
shotgun,
scattergun of salt.
Oh my gosh. Well, I want to do that.
Now, the best thing about the bug assault isn't necessarily the device itself. It is the slow motion videos that they put online of people shooting flies with bug assault.
I think I saw this, but didn't know what was happening. I think I saw some, like some close-ups of flies getting obliterated by some white
and they're
powder.
Like,
yeah,
like, just flying along and just like. It is the best. It is the best marketing you could ever dream of, is having these slow-mo videos of bugs getting.
So this isn't the same as like the salt gun I got hit with when I was a kid. They a guy, basically it's a shotgun that shoots salt. It's not like that. It's not like a full gun, right? It's like a small.
I mean, it's like a, you know, I mean, it's probably this big, kind of.
Wow. Salt gun. Because I got hit when I was a kid.
If you have an Ace Hardware near you, they're right there before you get to the checkout line.
Look at that. There it is. I kind of want one. I mean, right now, especially, there's so many.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is there a gun in your house? Make it a salt gun.
Here's like all the most popular video with slow motion flies getting bopped.
It's like a Nerf gun that shoots a pinch of salt. So I just load it with salt. Like,
yeah, you just load it with salt. You just pour, you know, your basic table salt.
And why is it salt specifically? Is it because it's just a good...
Because it's cheap ammunition.
So it's not the salt or the sodium or whatever is not really doing anything. That's not it's not the reason.
Right. No. Okay.
All right.
Although, although I think if it takes a leg off, that's...
oh, geez. Can you imagine?
The salt going in there is... Oh,
my gosh. That's horrible. Also, somebody told me that the thing where we all think flies only live a day, 24 hours, is not true.
Mayflies do, but I don't. House flies are a few days, aren't they?
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I thought for my whole life, I thought every fly was born in the morning, and then the next night or the next morning, it was like, well, tell my grandchildren I love them, and then they're dead. And I thought it was every freaking day. I'm gonna consider
all about science. Who needs a Bobby when we have all this great science that we're learning here on the show?
Really strong science today.
Yeah.
Anyway, this Damien Hirst guy.
Oh yeah, his dead fly installation.
Yeah, his dead fly installation. Which I don't know if I'd. Well, whatever. I don't know if I want to see it. It feels a little bit weird. Yeah. Anyway, the artist's installation, 100 years from 1990, in response to a complaints from the animal rights group PETA, the work now, a bisected glass cube, sees flies hatch on one side, travel through a hole to reach artificial light, and then die upon arrival from the insecto-cooter. Cooter? Cuter. Insecto-cooter, like an electrocutor, right?
Yes, insecto-cooter.
Insecto-cooter. Oops. Wait a minute. That's not Cooter. That's who is
that? No, that was Enos
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Roscoe P. Coltrane, yes. Yeah. But there was I'm sure there was somebody named Cooter on that show. There had to be.
Wasn't there a Cooter? Oh yeah, he's the local mechanic guy was Cooter.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Sure. Saw one episode with you guys.
I know, but that's still pretty good. That you remembered all of that. That's good detail for a show you never watched.
It's better than talking about the other usage of the word cooter.
Anyway, animal rights activists are all pissed because you're doing this to flies. I don't know what where the line is. Like at home, you can kill one with a fly swatter or this salt gun or whatever, but you can't have a little cube that does it. I don't know.
Yeah, that is an interesting because what's the line? Indoor for art's sake versus indoor for cleanliness sake?
Yeah, like nobody if anyone gets upset at this, I would actually call foul because I would say you're killing flies and spiders all the time. So the only difference is you're not doing it for an art show. Is that the difference?
Well, yeah, I mean Tally says it's displaying suffering for our amusement, which it kind of is. It is like that is what it boils down to, like, you know.
Yeah.
The fact that if it was a kitten,
you know,
like we'd obviously have a huge problem with it. So
why
is a kitten okay, but a fly is not okay to do this?
Yeah, but at home, like nobody's killing.
Why is it okay to do this to a fly and not okay to do this?
No, nobody's at home with a stick beating cats. If they were, they would be prosecuted for animal cruelty. But nobody's getting arrested for squashing flies at home. Yeah. So I don't know. To me, I'm not calling it a slippery slope. I'm just saying it's a weird little deal, you know? Mm-hmm. One of those weird societal deals.
I mean, you know, I hate flies, so I'm kind of like, yeah, probably shouldn't do this, but, you know, at least it's flies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good, at least the flies are dying.
At least the flies are dying.
Look at
although they are creating flies just to kill them, right? It's not like flies are hatching and then they're immediately getting killed, as opposed to like taking existing pests and getting rid of them.
Yeah. And also, why? Okay, chat makes a point. It says watching YouTube videos of a fly getting hit with a salt gun, isn't that the same thing? I mean, I don't know. That's my point. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it the same?
It's entrapment, because you even see them putting out fruit to attract the flies that they're going to hit with the bug assault. But
are they going after them? Are they getting? Well, I guess they'd have to have their videos taken down, but I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. Well, once again, the world's complicated. It's not all ones and zeros, everybody.
It's not black and white.
Nope.
Shades of gray, and flies are shades of gray.
That's right. And they stand on your poop and rub their hands together.
They do. Exactly. One of my favorite jokes was two flies sitting on a piece of poop, and one of them says, "Oh, man, did I tell you what I did this last weekend? I got so drunk and I just puked all over the place." And the other one goes, "Hey, I'm eating here."
Yep. Day in the life of flies. Fantastic. All right, one final story. This is a Colorado connection. Enjoy this one. Former NFL quarterback Jake Plummer.
Oh, I know this guy.
Is now Arizona Cardinals, Denver Broncos guy. Now mushroom farmer in Colorado.
Nice. What kind of mushroom?
Yeah, I know, right? If you ever wonder what former Arizona Cardinals and Denver Broncos quarterback Jay Plummer is doing now, wonder no longer. Plummer is now co-founder of Marco Love Farm. Which has been selling locally grown medicinal and culinary mushrooms and mushroom extracts 30 miles outside of Denver since 2021. Says, "It's not like we've discovered this new mushroom," says Plummer. "They have been around forever. We're just figuring out ways to grow them efficiently, extract them so they're very potent, and make them available to people who are interested in their health and wellness and preventative maintenance that are sick and tired of being sick and tired." He makes about $8,000
a month. Congratulations, you've created mold.
Yeah, you made some mold. Nice job. He makes about $8,000 a month in revenue. It's not a lot.
That isn't a lot. Really? Is that it?
That's it. Plummer, age 47, first learned about the medicinal properties of mushroom extracts while working for a CBD company for years after his NFL career ended in 2007. He said the supplements helped him feel better and sleep better, and eventually co-founded Umbo to make and sell mushroom bars and supplements with two others, including former UFC champion Rashad Evans. The company faltered a bit in COVID-19's pandemic because of supply chain, which prompted Plummer to explore farming the mushrooms. That led Plummer to the My Clove Farm, where his co-founder Shane Schulman, Leo Polio. That's a horrible last name. Leo Polio.
It really is. Yeah. Leo Polio.
Yeah. And Michael Heim opened it in 2021. I saw this dude because he was under... Is it the same guy? There was somebody who was having a really hard time in the NFL and was suffering like from massive panic attacks or something. So he started doing a little bit of weed, and the NFL, notoriously hardcore about drug tests and stuff, put him on probation. It was this huge big deal, even though he wasn't doing it. He was doing it outside of the game. And it was also I think it was legal when he was doing it, I think. Anyway. But it was still against NFL rules.
Yeah.
Point is, I think this is that guy. And I think he's just, now he's just like, "Yeah, man, I'm making mushroom bars."
If you decide to open a grow house, Jake, you could probably put an extra zero at the end of that. But, you know, that is a point, right? It's revenue, not profit. Because how much is he paying for that land? How much is he paying to employees? And that's why I'm thinking $8,000 just didn't seem like...
No, he's clearly not in it for the money, I don't think.
No, clearly.
He may be
in it for the mushrooms, man.
Yeah, he's in it for the shrooms. He's in for these mushroom bars. I've never had a mushroom bar. I would try one, but I've never had one. If anyone out there has access to these, send us some mushroom bars. Brian and I will try them on the show.
I having tried mushrooms. I mean, culinary mushrooms, love mushrooms. Put them on pizza, put them in a soup, put them, give me raw ones with some ranch, dip them in, I'm all over it.
Yeah.
I will say the one time I tried the hallucinogenic kind of mushrooms, they tasted like shit. And that's not a word I use lightly, Scott.
Is that how you intake those? You're supposed to just eat them, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you can chop them up and put them and have them with something, but yeah, no, they were not good.
I never tried that. Are they did you get a kind that you could verify, like, I don't know, these aren't poisonous, or this came from?
I didn't. No, I get them from. Let's just got them from Crazy Neighbor. I mean,
Of course you did.
Yes.
Of course it was Dave.
In Vegas.
Yeah. And did it? How did it leave you? How did it affect you?
Oh, it definitely had an effect. It was. It wasn't like a, oh wow, I'm seeing hand trails and stuff. It was like a, oh yeah, feel a little lighter, like a little like the world is slowed down a little bit for me and that sort of thing.
Oh.
That's how that
weed edible in Vegas felt like all of a
sudden I'm hearing sitar music and the Bellagio fountains or a big kaleidoscope or anything like that.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's too bad. Yeah. I know. I'd like that. Whatever that is, I'd like some of that, please.
It's probably a quantity thing, right? If you take more, you get a bigger effect or something.
Probably. Yeah. I did partake in a very, very small amount.
Yeah. I never had a mushroom that I know of. No one's ever slipped me anything that I know of. I was talking before the show. I've never smoked a cigarette. Still don't know what that's like other than secondhand. And I don't know what was the... Oh, but now I've done the weed thing in Vegas, so there's that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I guess I got what's next? Heroin? What's the gateway?
Yeah, when you do something in Vegas, it doesn't count for the rest of the United States.
No.
Like I can say, no, I've never taken drugs except for in Vegas, but that doesn't count because it was Vegas.
And it stays there. I remember that slogan. I know they don't use it anymore, but it still holds, still law.
Oh, yeah.
It's the law of the land.
I wonder if they're still using your Vegas is showing. What is the current?
Yeah, is that still
only
it?
Vegas?
Your Vegas is showing is so dumb.
It's so bad. Like, pull up your pants. Your Vegas is showing.
I hate that one.
What is the current Las Vegas slogan? Where is it? Is it just Vegas.com?
When you're here, you're broke. No?
The tourism board? Because remember how we were talking about how somebody bought the Vegas domain? Nope. It's
nothing.
Las Vegas tourism official. Let's do that.
I feel like I saw an ad recently, but I don't remember what they said.
Visit Las Vegas is the official.
That's it?
Yeah. No. I'm saying that's the visitlasvegas.com is the official. Enjoy live in Vegas. Enjoy life to the fullest. No. What is?
Wieners out.
Oh, what happens here only happens here.
Oh, so they just
is the current slogan.
Okay, so they're playing with the stays here.
Yeah, it's a playoff, exactly.
You probably got in trouble for that otherwise.
Yeah. It's better than the last slogan. Las Vegas. That probably won't wash off.
I have a shirt with a stain from Vegas that won't wash off, literally. It has a hole now because I scrubbed it so hard. I had a little hole forming. It's fantastic. I think I should just throw that shirt away.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
My wife that part of the shirt is now transparent because you've tried washing it with something.
I really
did. Things.
And it's still got the stain plus like two little holes in it. So I think I should just use it as a dust rag and be done with it. Speaking of dust rags and being done with it, that doesn't make any sense. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Bill's back in town. He's back from his vacation. Cool. We're going to see what's going on with him. I'm also told he has brand new router and Wi-Fi set up. So that means we shouldn't have all those weird... bandwidth problems we had within the last couple of weeks. Anyway, so that's coming up next. We got Bobby after that. Stick around, everybody. Brian's going to play music in the meantime.
Las Vegas. Does this look infected to you? Mm. Let's go to Ontario, Canada for a band called Among Legends. They have a brand new album called Take Good Care. It was recorded with Siegfried Meyer from Face to Face and Chuck Reagan. It's now available on Little Rocket Rad Girlfriend Records and the Sounds of Subterranea. They're going on tour. Here's the first song from the album. It's called Magnolia. We'll be right back.
same for me.
Is that something you can understand?
Sure, I understand.
Oh, because you were young once, huh?
No, not exactly.
Who pissed on the sandwiches?
This is The Morning Stream. You're a freak and a cannibal, and you've come to the wrong town.
And we're back, everybody. That song once again was...
It is called Magnolia from Among Legends from their brand new album, Take Good Care.
Oh, that seems like good advice regardless.
It's very good advice. You should definitely do that. Take good care.
Take good care of you and those around you. Mm-hmm. Okay? Even your eight-eyed spiders, your six-eyed spiders. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Be whichever nice. Spiders.
Yeah. Whatever spiders. Your black spiders, your Hispanic spiders. All right, check this out.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran, all the way back from vacation. It was a long time he was out of town, and he's joining us today like he does on Tuesdays to talk about the world of making stuff. Hello, Bill. Welcome back.
Hello. Good to be back.
Oh, you sound so good this week. Listen to that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's what $300 worth of new equipment will do for you.
It's very nice. And sadly, the ISP does not supplement that. You're on your own usually when that happens. So hats off to you. Well, it's good to have you back. How was your trip?
It was great. Both mine and Brittany's families live in upstate New York, so we fly up there once a year to go say hi to everyone. I was telling you guys I did... those Thorhammer kits for my nephews.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Huge hit.
Mm.
Went very well. We're talking young boys between the ages of 5 and 10. So they built them themselves, but they made these foam Thor's hammers. And then for the next 3 days, I was fixing Thor's hammers because they were not gentle with them, which is fun. That was kind
better
of
than fixing kids, right?
Yeah, like, right, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool, though. I knew those. They're kids, and it's Thor's hammer. Why wouldn't they be out of their minds?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, That was really, really fun. I had another bit of fun that led to an opportunity. I think today I want to talk about how being a maker makes you really good at fixing things.
Oh, all right.
Because I had an opportunity to fix something very expensive.
Oh, while you were away?
While I was away, in the field, to speak. All right. So right when we got to New York, one of the things I was the most excited about was to fly my new drone. I have the DJI FPV. You wear goggles like VR, and you get to see what the drone sees. It's really fun, but I can't fly it near my house because I live near three airports.
You're in a no-fly zone.
Very much a no-fly zone. But in upstate New York, my family has a farm where we can do whatever we want. So right when I got there, right fresh off a red-eye flight, I pulled out my drone just to show it off to my brothers. I showed them how fast it could go. It can go about 60 miles an hour. And I flew it 60 miles an hour straight into a tree.
Oh, 60?
Like right away. I was in the air for less than a minute before I obliterated the drone. Just
yeah, that's so hard. That's faster than a lot of cars are driving in those neighborhoods.
I tweeted out pictures a couple days ago if you're interested in checking out the carnage.
Oh, man.
But basically, this drone has four wings. One of them snapped right off. And it's got this very delicate-looking array of cameras on the bottom that broke off, too. I was pretty devastated. But I went to the hardware store. I got some 5-minute epoxy, and I got some zip ties. And boy, howdy, I was able to fix that thing. I was able to fix it so they could fly as good as new. And I was very happy because it would have been another $700 to replace the drone. And that would be a lot more than 5-minute epoxy, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. Banged up. Also, sorry, I accidentally got, I skipped ahead too far and went back to May and found a picture of you from 2002 with long hair at a concert. That freaked me out for a second. All right. How did you know what to do? Oh my gosh, that thing is banged up. Jeez.
Yeah. So the wing, the wires seemed like they were okay. It was dangling, but it seemed like it was only cosmetic. So I was able to glue the wing back on and hope that the electronics were okay. And some of the lights don't work anymore, but those aren't really necessary for flight. No. So, and it worked just fine. Oh, and then good. The cameras, I just zip tied those on. They had screws that snapped right out. I just zip tied it back on. Good as new.
Totally fine.
I was going to try and fix the screws, but you know what? The zip ties work fine.
There is nothing wrong with a zip tie in any situation. Zip ties are the bomb. I love it.
They're like the MacGyver for for stuff like this.
Yeah.
Yep. So many things.
I also like that you did. So is this video that you did the fireworks drone viewing, is this post or pre damage?
This is after the repair. You could tell I was super cautious once I fixed it.
Well, flew right through some fireworks as they were over a lake or something, a body of water.
In the dead of night, too. I couldn't, you can't see a thing.
Yeah.
But it was thrilling. It was so worth it and so much fun.
That's awesome. I love drone shots through fireworks. It's so cool.
Do it in first person with those goggles on while you hear the explosions going on around you. It was just extraordinary.
No kidding.
I didn't know you got audio from that. Is that, I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, I'm sitting next to the fireworks.
Oh. I thought you meant the drone itself was
No, it doesn't. But I was, I'm actually in frame in that shot. You can't quite see me, but.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I see a little dude down there. It must be you. That's cool, man.
I was thinking how the tools and skills I've collected over the last 10 years have made me quite good at repairing stuff. Also, when we were kids, we had RC cars and planes. So we got a lot of practice fixing those as well when I was little. But here in the shop, I've got every kind of glue, every kind of raw material. I have multiple 3D printers. So if I have to make something complicated, like a replacement part, I can do that from scratch. And I have a lathe and a CNC machine if I need to make parts from metal. That's pretty amazing, like, just what we can repair with what we have. I mean, obviously me, but anyone really has a lot of things around their house that could help them fix stuff.
Brian, have you ever had to do that? Like, 3D print something to fix an existing device or, you know?
I have for other people. I fixed a blender for someone like who found the 3D part online, because apparently it was a frequent thing that that broke. Currently, it's actually printing right now. I'm printing a cord charging cord holder that works in my cup holders in the back seat of the car, so that right now, you know, I tell people, oh yeah, just charge, you know, there's charging cables back there for you, but they're flippy floppy all willy nilly. Mm. Yes, I said flippy floppy and willy nilly. And I want something that kind of organizes them in the cup holder area back there for them. And so, yeah, I'm designing my own stuff as opposed to just downloading Mandalorians and printing them like crazy.
Wow. Awesome. Wow. That's, yeah, that's cool.
Pretty cool. Once you, I was just looking around the house at things that I've repaired. My glasses, I've fixed multiple times, multiple glasses.
Sure.
Fixes around the house. A bunch of equipment, like a vacuum cleaner, the lawnmower, parts of my vehicle. I've fixed my cell phone before. I've fixed furniture before.
Jeez.
And also, like, especially with the car, if you look up the exact problem you're having with the exact car and year, someone on YouTube has done it. I'm sure of it.
Said that there, yeah, this is a problem. Here's how you fix it. You know what you need is four screwdrivers. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you, even if you don't have the know-how, if you look it up on YouTube, someone out there has fixed it. So I implore you, if something in your house is broken, give it a shot. Like my drone, it wasn't going to fly again. I might as well try and glue this thing back together. And lo and behold, it worked. Saved me $700. Because I was very, very close to buying another drone.
Oh, my gosh. $700 is no small fee. That's
I know, right?
Yeah, well done. That's awesome.
I was so sad, though. It was the first day of, like, a 12-day trip where I had planned to fly this thing every day.
Yeah. I remember thinking, I don't know, maybe this is just, you know, back in the days where you'd build your own PCs all the time and, you know, kind of everything was DIY. I feel like I've gotten to a place in my life now where even though all that stuff's easier to do and more accessible, I feel like I'm just have no patience for it. So how do you do that part? You know, like in the drone case, I mean, $700 would motivate me to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, let's say it's, I don't know, a faucet's giving you trouble.
Yeah.
Part of me's like, let's just go to Home Depot and do this. And then the other part of me's like, no, Scott, you could do this. You're a freaking man. Get in there and figure it out. But I'm terrible at that.
My tendency is to think, well, do I have the tools and materials I need to give it a shot? Because if I do, I might as well give it a shot. I'm going to save myself a trip. I'm going to save myself some money. If it all goes sideways, fine. I'll bite the bullet. I'll go to the hardware store. But like 9 times out of 10, I end up fixing the thing and not having to worry about it.
All right. Well, that's why I need you. I need to live closer to you. And
yeah. Well, I have just every tool you can think of in my basement and every glue. And so I'm equipped to handle that a little more than most people, but I still think it's worth a shot.
Yeah. If mine can be done on a screen, I got you covered. You're all good. Well, that's awesome. It's an interesting way to have to, I don't know. It's look, if 3D printers and fabrication and all this stuff becomes the norm in every home, which it probably will be at some point,
you know,
we're heading there, then it only goes to say that we should all probably get a little more up on the idea of, you know, fixing things. You don't need to go replace everything. That lamp still works. Just do a little wiring in there. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I say that because I have a lamp that I was going to throw away. And now I'm not going to. I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
You can fix it. I can fix that leg with fishnet stocking on it.
That's right.
Cake.
That's right.
Just zip ties. Just a ton of zip ties.
Yeah, all zip ties all day. Those are the best. All right. Best use of plastic in the history of plastic. Bill, it's always good to have you here and good to have you back, of course. And people want to follow you and see all your cool stuff. They can only need to check out the punishprops.com website and or YouTube channel, which is all tied together. You can find out what he's going to be working on in the future. And of course, he'll be back next week. Bill, anything else going on you want to mention?
A quick video to recommend.
Sure.
From Hand Tool Rescue. This guy does tool restorations. He found this really wacky fractal vise for holding weird shaped stuff.
That seems like a useless vice.
Oh, it's so cool though. It's so just look at it and you'll think, wow, that's
yeah,
cool.
I'm looking I wish at it right I had now. It's like,
oh,
yeah,
what the heck?
Things don't fit in there. I guess what you just kind of wiggle stuff around until they fit in there perfectly and are completely secured. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Oh, huh. Look at that.
All right.
I've never even heard of that.
Me neither. Right. Until I saw this. Vice. Now I want one.
Fractal vice.
It sounds like a band or an album, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Fractal Vice.
Fractal Vice.
So would, is in theory any object can go in there?
Yeah, within the,
you know, some parameter, sure, size would matter, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the way this guy does his intro. This is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's cool. I didn't know that existed. Steve's probably listening going, dude, of course that exists. What are you doing? go check it out. That's over at Hand Tool Rescue. And, of course, Punish Props for everything else that Bill's got going on. Bill, have a great week. We'll see you next time.
See you.
Bye now.
See you.
All right. You know, he sounds like Jury when he says that.
Yeah.
Jury's in London right now.
Oh, is he really right now? Wow.
Yeah. There with Ashley having a gay old time. Yeah. Having a great time.
A jolly old time is what I would guess.
Yeah. Gay means something else now. So probably not a gay old time. I don't know, though. Maybe they do. I'm not here to shame anybody for anything. You do whatever you want.
Sure.
Listen, I don't care.
You have whatever time you want to have.
You do what you got to do. I mean, while some of you send weird emails to other people about...
Satin.
Satin followers. All hail Satin.
That's right.
All right. Bobby.
Globalists.
Globalists. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
What does it mean? What does that mean when someone says...
People who span the globe. Okay. Who believe the globe is round.
There it
is. Those are the people you're talking
about. Nailed it.
Science.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you noticed, but Bobby's here. And he's here to talk about some science. Look at him. Look at that glorious hair. My gosh.
It is glorious, no doubt.
I feel like if Jesus saw you, he'd wink at you and walk by. You know what I mean?
He has.
Oh, that's right. You live in
How
the
do
South.
You think he got that hair?
Yeah. No kidding. Well, I'm loving that. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the show. It's All Around Science's own Bobby Frankenberger. He comes on Tuesdays, talks about science stories and stuff. Are we doing the telescope today? What do you want to do? It's up to you.
We can talk about what I saw. There's not been time to sort of, what do you call it, like consolidate all the stuff coming out of that, because they just, I mean, it was, what time is it now? It was like an hour and a half ago that they started releasing the images live on YouTube.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, I was looking, I thought it was yesterday. I guess yesterday was the snapshot.
Well, the very first image they did release sometime yesterday.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty cool. You got to see this great image of a very small spot in the sky with tons, just like ridiculous amount of stars and galaxies just all over this image. Mm-hmm. And one of the cool things, if you've seen the image, it's just like filled with stuff, right? And they've even cleaned it up. There's a ton more stuff in there that we're not seeing, but that image, which was a really big high resolution image that they released, the amount of sky that represents is if you hold a grain of sand in your hand at arm's length, mm-hmm, up to the sky.
Yeah,
that's how much of the sky that's looking at.
Yeah, there's an amazing GIF floating around that I retweeted that does this really well visually. It shows the square. And then they pull back and show you where the square fits.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. It's just insane.
Just to give you some perspective on... That's cool.
It's insane. It's just and really massive.
I've seen the comparison images of that image. I think that was the one where they're taking the James Webb Space Telescope image and sitting it on top of the same... space that you can see using
Hubble, right? The Hubble.
Hubble. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Hubble one is, man, talk about
all over the place.
It's like going from VHS to 8K Blu-ray. Like
it's nuts. It's crazy. And one of the cool things you can see on there is you can see there's these smears around the image that look like a circular smear, and it's a galaxy that's just been smeared in the image, and it's because of gravitational lensing, which is just the light from a galaxy really, really far away is passing past a cluster of galaxies in the middle of the image, and the gravity of that galaxy cluster in the middle is bending all the light of the galaxies around it, and it's just crazy the amount of detail that you can see and how this is just after them just looking at stuff for a week. Like, we're going to get so much stuff out of this telescope and learn so many things.
It's just absolutely wild. Now, I'm looking at a time lapse of the James Webb telescope being built and showing the chat room as I'm doing it. I'm curious who is James Webb? Like, why is this named after him?
We don't like to talk about James Webb because he's got a troubling past. So
really?
Yeah. And what is James Webb?
Yeah.
What is the James Webb? Yeah. there was even a petition early on when we started talking about before this was launched to rename the telescope and everything. He didn't have the greatest views on gender equality and people and sexuality and people working for NASA, and let's just leave it at that.
He was
an astronomer.
Okay, but he must have been a good enough of one that they were like, hey, we should name this after him, despite him being kind of
a dick.
Well,
they named it after him a long time ago. Okay. Like, this telescope has been being planned for a very, very long time, and he was like a NASA administrator or something, and so. Are you seeing these probably not the best views?
Are you seeing these nebulas this thing is putting out? My gosh!
Oh yeah. There were some of the images that they showed were some planetary nebula, and they're just jaw dropping how much detail that we're able to get. Not just because of the high resolution, which absolutely is part of why these images are so great. But also because this telescope is able to see a much wider spectrum of light than any other telescope that's been put in space, like Hubble, or especially ones from the ground. But you can see infrared light. Yeah, the one I'm looking at on the stream right now.
Unbelievable.
Are the images that they've put out. And it's just outstanding because you can see near infrared, mid infrared, and far infrared, all at different, and you can combine those images of different light because this telescope is all about infrared light and everything.
It's pretty wild stuff. I love when everyone suddenly stops doing anything else and talks about space because it has this really great way of making all of our dumbassery seem small. And, you know,
it really does. Yeah, it puts things into perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In the biggest possible way. But anyway,
there will be a lot of time to talk about. I'm sure we're going to get lots of stuff out of James Webb. But what I was going to tell you about today was a piece of news that came out of Florida. Might actually shed some light onto why maybe people are so crazy in Florida.
We have the primordial ooze of Florida, man. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it turns out that there's this giant African snail that was that has been found there that shoots brain parasites into people.
What? Is that true?
It doesn't actually shoot brain, but it's more fun. If it was a D&D, if this snail was a D&D monster, it would definitely shoot it. But it does give people brain parasites, and it's a giant 8-inch long snail. You've probably seen pictures of it before.
Oh, is this the one we talked about on the show where they were going to do
they like eat concrete.
Yeah. And they were or something like that, but they were going to like shut the city down or do a quarantine or something because of these snails
They've done this before. Yeah, this is the third time that they've attempted to eradicate this, or this is now going to be the third time that they've attempted to eradicate this snail from Florida. It's a huge, it just looks like a snail, but it's gigantic.
Yeah, it's big. Right? Really big.
Yeah. And it's really, really cool looking because of that, but it's considered one of the most invasive species of things that exists because it eats over 500 different plant species, including lots of crops and ornamental plants and stuff like that. It just eats everything, and it eats a lot because it's huge. It's a giant snail.
Does it really eat the concrete, like Brian was saying?
I didn't read anything about that, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
Look at that thing. They're worse than goats, and they're almost as big. My gosh.
Wow. It's huge. It's kind of cute.
snails go. I mean, you think we could just cook them all up and eat them? Wouldn't that be the solution? Or they
that
probably...
would be, well, you don't want to do that, and I will. That's what gets to the brain parasites.
Oh, gotcha. All right.
But yeah, it eats all sorts of fruits and vegetable crops and everything, and it's also dangerous to people's health. And it breeds like very prolifically. It lays several thousand eggs over its multi-year lifespan, and it's
These live for years. Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah, very difficult to get rid of. This one was found. They've been found all over the place, but this particular one that made the news was found on a property in Pasco County, Florida, north of Tampa. And when they found the one snail, the entire property was quarantined and shut down, and they've been putting snail killing pesticides all over the place, trying to kill this thing because it's so invasive, and it transmits a parasite called rat lungworm.
Mm.
It's a parasite that can invade your central nervous system and cause meningitis.
Joke. Jeez.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. What's even more dangerous about it is that sometimes it'll infect people and do nothing, but then other times it'll just destroy people. I'm literally killing some people. There's lots of symptoms ranging from like just severe headaches to eye problems, nerve damage, paralysis, coma, death.
You're basically describing, you're making me wonder why Florida would be so quick to quarantine this and not another famous disease we've had lately that can also kill you, some people, and cause other issues in other people, and yet they wouldn't quarantine for that. I think that's weird.
Yeah, exactly. This is probably a little bit harder to transmit from person to person than COVID is, but it can, you can get it from, because if this snail starts to, not only is it going to destroy crops, but the crops that it doesn't destroy has the potential of putting this parasite all over it, and then if it gets into your like salad or something, or on your grilled cheese, as you like to say,
what gross got out the most?
So is it? It looks stinky. Is it? You think it's stinky?
I don't know. I've never smelled one.
Cause look at that thing. You just know if you got up close on that, it would just reek. Blah.
Yeah.
Science, so as disgusting as it is, I actually find the science of the parasite's life cycle pretty interesting. So what happened? They're called rat lungworms.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
As you might imagine, a lot of the information's already in the name. they get into the lungs of rats.
Yeah,
and they lay eggs in the lungs of rats. Now, the way that ends up affecting snails and then people is this long, interesting process. So it's in the lungs of the rats, and then after the eggs in the lungs hatch, the larva. Hopefully nobody's finishing their breakfast or starting lunch.
I think everybody's finished their breakfast.
Yeah, they're done now. You're good. Yeah,
because what happens is after the eggs hatch in the lungs of the rats, the rats will cough them up, and then get into their throat and mouth, and then they get swallowed again. So it gets the larva of these worms go from the lungs to the stomach in that way, and then they get pooped out.
Yeah.
So this is how they get they get out of the rat. Then snails like poop, so they eat the rat poop. That's how they get into the snails. And then normally, the normal life cycle is then more rats come and eat the snails, and then the cycle starts all over again. It gets in the rat's stomach. The adults get into the rat's stomach and then go up to the rat's brains, where they then breed and then lay eggs in the lungs, and then it starts all over again, right?
Wow. Life finds a way in this case.
You sure we can't just talk about space?
The problem with this process is rats are smaller, so it's easier for the worms to move around. But when they get into human bodies, and if they get into the central nervous system, trying to go from place to place, they die before they make it. And then it causes that's what causes problems and meningitis in humans. So
okay, we live in a time where we can do all sorts of modern things. Why isn't it we can't just, do these hide somewhere, these snails? Are they really good at stealthing around? How come we can't just get them all gone?
I mean, that's what they're trying to do, right? But it's the eggs. They lay thousands and thousands of eggs, the snails do. And so you have to...
Do they do it when no one's looking? Like, they're like, ah, you suckers, I'm laying eggs right now. And you know?
They're right. Sneaking around following the snails and waiting until they... Ideally, you kill the snail before it lays any eggs. But if you missed any of the eggs, then more, you know, hatch. And then they are trying to quarantine. And they've gotten rid of them before. I'm not sure how they got back. Maybe through produce from another place. This isn't the only time one of these infestations have happened. In Hawaii back in 2019, there were like a dozen confirmed cases over there. And several people died. And
dang.
Yeah, 2018, 2019, there was a CDC alert and warning telling people, hey, you know, we're not saying you can't go to Hawaii, but if you do, you might want to watch out.
Yeah, don't go near
this
snails.
This is happening over there.
So is this a tropical only kind of climate sort of thing problem? Like Florida?
I guess I didn't actually look at where all the snails are, but I mean, they're called African lung, African giant African snails. Mm. So, of over there, it's in like middle Africa, northern and middle Africa, and then over, and you know, we've got the ones in Florida and then Hawaii. So I'm guessing warm climates. Yeah, they like lots of leafy crops, so wherever those are growing.
So Phoenix, you're probably fine. Just you're fine down there.
It's very dry there. The snails would dry out.
Yeah, they'd just be little.
Just salt
turds.
The earth.
Yeah, they'd That's salt. The, yeah, salt. That was the other question. You just salt it all, man. That's how you get the snails. Well, that's what I was taught growing up, is you just salt them.
Just get one of these bug assault guns. Look, an entire
oh god,
army
yeah.
of
yeah.
people.
With, oh,
just
those
don't,
things and
don't,
snails,
just
man.
Don't do it as an art installation, or else it's evil.
Pete will be all over you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's super interesting. I'm gonna ask you a question now that you have to answer.
Okay.
Did you know spiders had 8 eyes? Did you know that? Or were you like me?
I thought they all had 8 eyes as well. I thought it was part of their, like, you know how a lot of creatures have these body plans that follow sort of like a numerical symmetry all over the place, just like we have 2 of most things. And
sure.
But so, yeah, I also thought spiders all had 8 eyes.
Yeah. I was born one testicle, 2 penises.
Wow.
I know.
Interesting.
It was a real something got messed up on my paperwork, so you do what you gotta
spiders
do.
Spiders have 8 of all of them.
all right. Well, this is fantastic stuff. So we will probably have more to say about James Webb and his cool microscope next time.
Telescope,
microscope.
What's the difference, really?
Yeah, really. What is the difference between a telescope and a microscope?
Telescope, microscope.
Yeah, I mean, you know. It's all scopes, right? It's fine. Anyway, we'll have more of that, I'm sure, coming up, because, like you said, they're just starting to pump this stuff out, but it's
That's
very exciting.
The cool
exciting.
Thing about these kinds of things is that it gives us lots of things to talk about. So.
Yeah, and I think, it, you know, as names of telescopes go, Hubble, named after a dude, is a more fun word to say. It's fun to say Hubble.
Oh, yeah.
When you say the web, or even the full name, James Webb, that's boring. We need somebody named, like, I don't know, Galoshes, or, you know.
It's like Galileo Galoshes.
yeah.
Something cool. Like, I don't know. Name it after an ancient astronomer or something. Do that.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. Bobby, if you can get that done for us, that'd be great. All right.
I'll work on it. I just put it on my to-do list.
Sounds good. It's Bobby Frankenberger, everybody. Tell us about your show, All Around Science, where people can get it, and why they should listen.
Oh, yeah. Well, we will, I'm sure, mention the telescope on our next episode of All Around Science. That's our weekly science show where we talk about science news and just things that we find interesting going on in the world of science. Yesterday's episode that just came out, we talked all about colorblind vision, was inspired by a fellow tadpooler and ANTP contestant who's listens to the show, September McCready.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Yep, she was asking about her child who's colorblind and on our Discord. And so Maura thought, let's do a whole feature on colorblind vision and talk about how colorblindness works. So that episode came out yesterday. It's really fascinating how It's much more complicated than even I thought.
Okay. Well, look at that. Getting deeper every week there on the All Around Science. Yep. Well, fantastic. Bobby, have a great week in the meantime, and may all your spiders have eight eyes.
Yours too.
I know.
All the better to see you with.
All the better. All right. Hey, everybody. It's time for a quick little email moment.
Send and receive email.
TheMorningStream@gmail.com. Here's one from Brett. He's not really in the tadpole, but when he is, it's Snywalker. I like that. It's also good. Snywalker on Twitter.
Snywalker.
He says, hello, Scott and Brian. I was wondering if it would be cool to get a plug on the show for my store's charitable effort. I had the idea of making soccer jerseys based on pop culture entities, and the first one was based on the Green Power Ranger. It has some references sprinkled throughout the design without being as in-your-face as the nerd fandom tee found at Target. We have a small quantity remaining in select sizes, and not only is it on sale, but I'm donating all the remaining sales to NoKidHungry.org. Thank you, and love the show, though, Brett. So this is pretty rad.
Really cool. Yeah, I didn't realize it's a whole like soccer jersey. I mean, I know he said that, but it's like a, you know, it's not just a green soccer jersey with Power Rangers. It's like it looks like. If you didn't know better, you'd say this is just a team logo, right?
Yeah,
team
design. I like that, because then you don't have to over-explain yourself to people who don't get the reference. But then people who do get it, and that's all you need. Yeah, you can go find this over at, GiltedGoose.com? There it is.
GiltedGoose.com,
yep. And then just go to the shop, and you'll run into it. Pretty awesome. Oh, yeah, look at this. Is this you, Brett, in this photo, I wonder?
Might be, yeah.
It's a glorious beard, if that's the case, man. Huh. Anyway, it's all for a good cause, so go over there and help them out. And if you're not familiar with it, you can check out the charity, which is NoKidHungry.org.
Yeah, always have. If you get to Gilted Goose and you can't find it, do a search for Angel Grove, and that should take you to the shop.
Yeah, that'll get you there. All right, I think that's everything. I wanted to tell you that we got some upcoming shows today at 3:30 Mountain Time. Play Retro has a brand new show where me and Brian Dunaway discuss all things old video games. And today we're talking about, if you were in Japan, Rockman, or here in the States, Rockman. Mega Man. Don't ask me why they changed it, because I'm going to tell you later. It's a spoiler, because we know why they changed it. Anyway, Mega Man, it turns out there are a ton of these. Tons and tons of Mega Man games.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about every single freaking one of them. We're going to focus on the early days.
Yeah.
It'll be great, though. So check it out, 3:30 Mountain Time at frogpants.tv or on the podcast after for Play Retro. There's also a brand new Fred and Ken. There's no Ken.
Fred and Ken
at fredandcan.com, up and available now. And it basically pokes fun at the MCU and then pokes back the other direction, all in one comic. All right, go find out for yourself what that means over at fredandcan.com, episode 71 to be exact. All right, that's it. Brian, anything else you got going today you want to mention?
No, nothing else for me. It's a work day, so and Puzzle Pint tonight. Sadly, they canceled the in-person bar thing because of variant BA5, so we're just having the Moors over. We're going to do Puzzle Pint here and pour pints and do puzzles to do their puzzles. You can get them online at puzzlepint.com.
Oh, they're not doing like a stream thing? You just have to...
No. Okay. No, you just go to the site, you download, it's a PDF, you print it out, you do the puzzles, so...
That BA5 thing needs to chill. Hospitalizations are up, man. I don't like it, and yeah. I really would wish that to stop, okay? I know I don't have a lot of sway with this virus, but...
Yeah, make it stop.
Slow your roll, BA5. All right, exactly. That's it for the show. I want to thank a brand new patron. We didn't get in one yesterday, so get in there, everybody. We need new people. Instead, I'm going to talk about an old one from way back who's still with us. Joined in 2014, Jamie Snell. Jamie, thanks for being a long-timer. Yeah. We appreciate it. That's awesome. Patreon.com/TMS for details. And again, that's where you'll find the freshest of details when it comes to what we're going to try with our couch party this weekend. So go check that out. And a little sneaky thanks goes out to who was I going to thank? I was going to thank somebody. I was going to thank Wicked Kitten. Monica, she's going to help kind of facilitate anybody who doesn't understand how that works, like how the Patreon part works. And she's very good at that stuff. So preemptive thanks to her, because I have a feeling I'll be sending some people her direction who don't get
cool.
it.
Cool.
All right. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. It's patreon.com/TMS for that. And if you'd like to email us again, themorningstream@gmail.com. That'll do it for us. Hey, Brian, how about a song from Brian?
Well, sure. We mentioned Carrie Fisher earlier. Happy unbirthday to Carrie Fisher, but also happy birthday to Gary Fisher, who says, shine on, you crazy diamond, or anything appropriate for someone who's ridden around this rock, around the sun 73 times. Love the show, though. Senior geek.
73. Amazing.
73, man. So good. I get to hopefully see him at the beginning of September. We go to Anaheim, so looking forward to that. Shine On You Crazy Diamond, I've played a few covers of that song on here on the show, but this is another great one. This is a really cool stripped down acoustic version where you can really hear the lyrics and the emotion for Syd Barrett. This is Ricardo Lally from the tribute from 2018 called Echoes of Secrets. Here is Shine On, You Crazy Diamond.
Fantastic. We'll see you tomorrow for the usual Wednesday business. We'll see you then.
Remember when you were young, you shone like the sun. Shine on, you crazy diamond. Now there's a look in your eyes like black holes in the sky.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hello, YouTube.
Yeah.